It's been a while since we've been in the narrative part of our quarter, so it might take just a few minutes to kind of get us back to where we had left off about a couple, 3 weeks ago. Look at some of the books that had been written. Paul had started on the third missionary journey back in Acts chapter 18, verse 23. Says, after he had spent a little time at Antioch, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. Then he comes over to Ephesus, over on the coast, and we know that he spends, they will find out, he says he spent 3 years there. As we looked at Acts chapter 19, had a record of him at least spending 3 months in the synagogue and 2 years in the school of Tyrannus. Mentions he, as he talks to the elders at Ephesus, that he did spend 3 years laboring night and day, declaring unto them the whole counsel of God. And it was from here that he probably wrote the book of Galatians and also 1 Corinthians. Remember, the rite takes place. Paul had planned to stay there for some length of time while Titus carried the letter over to church in Corinth, but he has to pick up and leave. And Acts chapter 20 and verse 1 find him beginning his journey from Ephesus up over into Macedonia, up to Troas. Expects maybe to find Titus there, but not there. And we have to go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12 and 13. Talked about the fact that he had an opportunity. The opportunity is to preach at Troas, but what was the situation? We can find out. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12 and 13. Let's look at what Paul had to say going on in his life at that particular time. He said, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother. Taking my leave of them, I went from thence, Macedonia. So he just didn't have the heart. He was so upset about not finding Titus and understanding from him how the church over at Corinth had accepted his first letter. So he goes on over, meets up with Titus in Macedonia. It was probably from there that he wrote 2 Corinthians, after he found out how the first letter was received. Acts chapter 20 and verse 2, it talks about him going on down into Greece, Corinth, spending 3 months. We know that from the book of Romans, and that's where he wrote the book of Romans. Now, as we begin our lesson today, in chapter 20 and verse 3, find him, he's getting ready. Hopefully, sail from Corinth back to Jerusalem. But the situation changes. There are some people that they had a plot. They laid in wait for him as he was about to sail back to Antioch of Syria. And so he had to return and backtrack up through Macedonia, sail Jerusalem from this back over to Tyre, down to Caesarea. Eventually, that's where hopefully we'll end our last today. As he begins his journey back, though, we see him accompanied by a number of people, six or seven of them. And we've met some of these people before. Maybe we haven't, but so. What about this fellow by the name of Aristarchus? Anybody remember where we encountered him before? He was the one that, he was one of the ones that went into the theater at Ephesus, back chapter 19, verse 29, Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, they had gone into the area there where the mob had gathered. We will find out as we get near the end of the book of Acts that Aristarchus was on the ship with Paul as he made his journey to Rome. later on, we find out from Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10 that he was, in fact, a fellow prisoner of Paul at some point in time. Now, whether he was when Paul was going to Rome, X doesn't say, but we see him at two other times mentioned in the Bible. Don't know much about Gaius. It was a really common name from what I could read. Timothy. Remember where we met Timothy? Young man, when we first met him. Chapter 16 is Paul and Silas began the second journey. Find them carrying this young man, Timothy, with them. And he became Paul's, quote, son, so to speak, and traveled with him Paul's life. Tychicus delivered at least two of Paul's letters. We find that from Ephesians chapter 6 and also 4. Trophimus. This is a guy that's going to downfall of Paul, quotation marks. Travels back to Jerusalem with him. Some of the Jews see him with Paul there in Jerusalem. They assume Paul has carried this Gentile into the temple. This is a real problem to those people, and as a result, rush on Paul in. And we see in one of the letters to Timothy, Paul had left him later on at Miletus. We get to chapter 20 and verse 4, 5, I guess. Five. Notice anything about wording there? For tarried for who? Us. Us? That'll be Luke. Luke's been, and he's at Philippi if you look at verse 6, because they will sail away from there. Apparently he has been there since maybe the second journey. Back over in Acts chapter 16, I believe 40, the end of the chapter. We see him there and he mentions, and they parted and so forth. Looks like Luke may have been over there for maybe 4 or 5 years. It's been a long time since Paul left Philippi on the second journey. And of course, we know that he's going to stay with Paul almost the rest of Paul's life. So, a lot from Luke. Why are these people going? The purpose of all of this? Carrying money back. Money back to the people, particularly traveling back a lot of this by foot and so forth. Not only was it a safety thing, but also it makes sure that no misunderstanding, Paul maybe misusing the funds or having it for his own gain. They are. Now they leave Philippi though. They sail Troas. Takes 5 days. This one that way it only took 2 days, I think, if I remember correctly. But they make their way over to Troas, meet up those who had gone ahead. Been 7 days there, and this is the verse that we all staying there, came together. That was the purpose. Verse 7. The first day of the week when the disciples gathered to break bread. Oh, by the way, Paul preached to them. That was not their sole purpose of coming together. The purpose was to. But he preached to them, and he preached a little longer than most of our preachers do today. He only preached to midnight. And it mentions in verse 9, and as Paul was long preaching, but nobody seemed to get excited about the fact that speaking a long time, in fact, even after this young man who gone to sleep fell out the window, taken up by, it speaks of the fact that they even talked to him, talked to Paul, even until, said he talked a long time, verse 11, even till the break of day. These people were very excited about seeing Paul, had a lot to talk to him about, and obviously it was a close relationship and made fast. So while they're meeting on Sunday, there's a lot of lights in that upper chamber. Day of the week, what? First day of the week. Most Paul were still thought hydrated. So this may explain why this guy fell out the window. He may have had as hard a day that day as I had yesterday. So anyway, it was nighttime. Late in this young man, I say, goes to sleep, and but taken up, comforted, of course. But, excuse me.
So you think it was could the
be,
day of the week?
Could be. It is a possibility. When they came to do what they came together, came back and ate at least after midnight. In fact, it was the first day.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Comments? Let's see. So Paul, instead of taking the ship, Troas down to Assos, decides he's just going to walk, because apparently you had to sail out and then sail back around some island type or whatever. So he found out it's going to be just as quick to walk. And I can imagine, having been shipwrecked a few times, he was probably not all excited about getting on the boat anyway. So he actually walks over there and meets up with his company again. They come on down the coastline and eventually gets to Miletus, with Italene and down, but just off the coast there from Ephesus, and that's where most of chapter 20 is devoted. When he calls for the elders, he's in a hurry to get back to Pentecost, according to the verse, Jerusalem by Pentecost on the 16th. Calls for the elders of the Ephesus come and meet. It's a very emotional meeting that these people have, because he has spent, according to verse 31, he is there, warning them night and day. Verse 19 mentions the fact, with many tears and temptations. What was cause of all of this, or a lot of it? That which befell me by the lying in wait of the... So everywhere Paul went, fronted or chased by the Judaizing teachers, must have been a very difficult time, places. But still doesn't shirk his responsibility. Teach, he said he taught publicly, verse 20, and from house to house, testifying both who? Both to the Jews, even though many of the Jews were against Paul, he still presented the gospel to the Jews, also to the Greeks or the Gentiles, preaching repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 22, he begins a series from this point on. We will see Paul being warned or being advised not to go back to Jerusalem. Verse 22, he says, "Now behold, I am bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions bide me." But what's his attitude? "None of these things move me, neither count I myself dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace." Remember how many times we've seen, two or three times at least, his desire was to go to Rome. He expected to go there. Acts chapter 19 mentions the fact that after he went back to Jerusalem, he said, "I must also see Rome." Romans chapter 15, go forth as we read that book. "I plan to come see you after I go to Jerusalem." Still hoping, just right here, hoping he's going to go to, like that hope is vanishing. So he said, "Because that I might finish my course." He doesn't know what's going to happen to him. Willing to lay down his life, whatever. But we see, I think, in Paul had, make it to Rome, but know that he made it to Rome. So he meets with these elders. What does he say in verse 26? "What has he done that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel?" Paul has laid it on the line. So he urges them to take care of the flock, because he said he knows that there will be grievous wolves that will not spare in the flock. Verse 29. The bad part he has to say is verse 30. Speaking, throw away disciples after that. So, goes ahead and finishes his speech. They all spoke, and he kneeled down, prayed with them all. They all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck, kissed him. Reason being, sorrowing most of all for the gathering with them. Chapter 21. See them leaving, sailing on down Island of Rhodes. I don't know where my direction was. I was thinking it would be Island of Rhodes and off to the side. I was thinking it would be Natural Harbor, all entrance in it, and tourist people all spend his night as he passes through it. So anyway, they sailed, seeing Cyprus on our left, so they sanded over at Tyre. that's where the boat was to take off its burden. I like the way it's stated in verse 4.
Finding.
I don't know whether he knew. I guess surely he knew there were some disciples there, but he found them. It's 7 days. Here we see another warning about what these people find out, that they encouraged Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. That's the second time that he is asked not to go. But days are over, parted, went our way, all brought us on our way. Paul was all wives and children, whole family. There must have been relationship between Paul and these people, because the whole family, as they come out of the city, kneel down on the shore, prayed together again, taking our leave one of another. We took. So the boat ship goes on down from Tyre down to Ptolemais, getting back close to where he wanted to be. When they get to Caesarea, though, they go into the house of Philip the evangelist, seven old with him. Where did we last leave him? Philip. Yeah. Acts chapter 8. Right. Yeah, so after he had the encounter with the Philippian, with the Ethiopian eunuch, it's too long. It said, and the Spirit carried him away, but Philip was found at Azotus. Passing through, he preached all the cities of Caesarea. That may have been his home for a long time. It's probably been 25 or 30 years since that event happened and when we meet Philip again. But by this time, at least he's got four daughters, virgins, and they also have the ability to. Verse 10 said, and they tarried there many days. There came down from Judea a prophet named Agabus. And where did we prophesy? Yeah. Acts chapter 11, verse 28. That's where he talked about the famine that was going to take place. It has taken place by now, and that's the reason the money is being sent. This time, he's not talking about famine. He's talking about what's going to happen to Paul. Takes Paul's girdle, binds his own hands and feet, says, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, shall deliver him into the house. So in verse 12 it says, but when we heard these things, both we and those people that live there saw him not to go up to Jerusalem. Listen to Paul's reply, verse 13. But he answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem, in the name of the Lord Jesus. We could not persuade him. We ceased saying, that's got to be our attitude. A lot of things we can't control. God's in control. We have to be willing to say the Lord. So they gather their goods together and go up to Jerusalem, up being altitude-wise. They had an old disciple, Caesarea. Certain of the disciples of Caesarea, they brought an old man whose original home was in Cyprus. That's who they would lodge with. Verse 17 says, and when we came, brethren received us gladly. Turn back over to chapter 15. Excuse me, 15. Look at verse 30, 31. Okay, verse 30. He said, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. That's what he was asking them to pray for, that I might be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. Now, I think we see the second one of those desires fulfilled here. Says, and when we came to Jerusalem, all right, we're come to Jerusalem, brethren received us gladly. First request, that he might be delivered. Talk about that Wednesday night, but I'm down and do a little bit. Verse 30 to about 32. This is when these people, the Jews, had become so upset because they thought they had seen or assumed he had carried Trophimus into the temple. They ran together, took Paul, drew him out of the temple. Forthwith the doors were shut, went about to kill him. Tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. They saw the chief captain and the soldiers. They left beating of Paul. Captain came near and took him, though he was delivered from the unbelieving Jews. They had already beat up on him. Romans came and took him out of the hands of those those unbelieving Jews and saved his life. And the rest of the story depends on his life by the Jews over the next several days, and allowed to go to the city of Rome and had some additional life left. Any comments on chapter 21? Kind of where we'll stop the spread of the comments. But it's interesting, though, that to see these two requests, you know, these people prayed that two things, or he asked them to pray for two things. Both of those prayers were, okay? Like guy told my brother one time, 5 minutes. Well, it was dry. Mine's dry, too. So if I had to talk much more this morning, I'd be.
I appreciate the comment.
Bill, hope you pick up Wednesday with verse 18. How far do we go, Greg? Exactly. You'd be pumping sand, too. But just study ahead for the next chapter or so, and hopefully we'll be able to come together.